I'm Marco Werman. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The oil company Royal Dutch Shell says it wants reconciliation. That's why it agreed to pay $15.5 million to settle a lawsuit that accused Shell of human rights abuses in Nigeria. Shell has long had oil operations in the country's Niger Delta region, but those operations have made local activists angry. They say they see little of the oil wealth, but plenty of the pollution. In 1995, nine activists led by Ken Sarawiwa were executed by Nigeria's then-military government. The victims' families accused Shell of being complicit in the deaths. That's where the lawsuit and settlement come in. But the situation in the Niger Delta remains extremely tense. Darren Q is an assistant professor in the Department of Conflict Resolution at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. He joins us in our Boston studio to talk about the situation in Nigeria. Darren Q, the amount of $15.5 million is not a painful one for a massive company like Shell, and they continue to say they had nothing to do with the death of Ken Sarawiwa in 1995. What do you make of the message of this kind of odd settlement?
I think it's an ambiguous message because on the one hand, there's no admission or determination of Shell's guilt in regard to the events surrounding Sarawiwa's death. And on the other hand, you have some possible encouragement that at least Shell has been taken to an American court and that there was some sort of hearing. So on the one hand, it may help to reinforce organizations on the ground that do want to bring the different oil companies to justice, but we don't have any sort of determination of guilt.
And what is the nature of the settlement? Because it's not like $15.5 million going to the families of the people who were killed by the Nigerian government. It's kind of a fund, right?
Yes. I'm not familiar with all the details of the settlement, but it is going to go to, in part, to a foundation and also to some of the plaintiffs in the suit itself. And there are a large number of individuals engaged.
What is the evidence that Shell Oil actually had a role in the ultimate execution of Ken Sarawiwa, that they may have even been complicit in his capture and arrest?
Yes, Nigerian activists have long contended that Shell, in fact, played a part in pushing the Nigerian military to take a tougher hand with MOSAP, that is the Ogoni organization that Ken Sarawiwa led. And then in the larger picture, that Shell has always been in a fairly cozy relationship with the Nigerian government and has not been afraid to call in the Nigerian military to provide various security operations. And when the Nigerian military goes in, it tends to have a very heavy hand in terms of human rights abuses and the way it deals with unrest in the region.
So take us to the Niger Delta and how people there feel about all of this. I mean, to start with, we keep hearing about just how impoverished the Niger Delta is. What kind of poverty do you see when you go there?
It's a tremendously impoverished region. There are little or no roads. There's no light or power grid supporting the region. Most of the villages or many of the villages have to be reached by river. It's largely a mangrove swamp topography. But the greater tragedy of all this is that the region produces billions of dollars in oil wealth a year. Last year, roughly maybe $70 billion were produced by oil and gas from the Niger Delta region. In addition, the Niger Delta gets a special budgetary allocation of 13% of these revenues, but there's very little sign that any of this money has been used for the good of the communities, and people know this, and this leads to a tremendous amount of frustration.
So where is the money going?
Over the years, it's gone primarily into the pockets of government power holders. First, the military in the 1990s, and then when the civilians took over in 1999, it's trickled down to federal, state, and local government actors who have gotten tremendously rich off of this money, and very little or none of it has gone to the region itself.
And do you have a good example of, you know, the kind of evidence of this money going to their pockets?
Yes. If you go to one of the states' website, the previous governor used to have a picture of his yacht there on the website. Nigerian activists have also put pictures of the fancy houses in London and other parts of the world that many of these politicians have. So we could go on and on. There's a tremendous amount of wealth very blatantly spent right in the faces of the public itself.
What do you think is a key to stabilizing the Niger Delta right now? And how do you get the money that all the people of Nigeria have a stake in to those people?
I think the core issue is the governance crisis. We have a government in Nigeria that is not accountable to its own people because we've had increasingly problematic and, by 2007, fraudulent election cycles. President Yar'Adua came into office offering to reform the electoral system. So far, he's refused to do that, and it looks like he's not going to do that in time for 2011. Without clean elections, you have no viable voice of the community and the public in office. Elected officials do not owe their position to the public itself. They owe it to party bosses and these powerful individuals at the center. The president is really the only one with the power to go after these powerful individuals and to set up a viable peace process that can engage the communities and can lead to some sort of comprehensive step forward out of the current crisis.
Darren Kew, assistant professor in the Department of Conflict Resolution at the University of Massachusetts Boston. Thanks very much for speaking to us about Nigeria and its oil troubles right now.
Thank you.